My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now.
I don't think you should say there's no evidence for God, because God would be like a starting point or like first principle assumption from which that would like make evidence possible.
That's just the presupposition that you have. That's not evidence.
Right. So that's the thing though. God, God is like a first principle belief. Everyone has a first principle, right?
Yep. That's not evidence either. It's my first principle that the supernatural realm doesn't exist. There, I just objectively proved that God doesn't exist.
Well, okay, no, that's not how that works.
That's so, exactly how it works for you, doing the opposite. So, yes, that is exactly how it works.
No, okay, for example, like...
Okay, go ahead.
For there to be evidence, we have to solve the problem of induction, right?
No.
No.
Evidence also, doesn't evidence doesn't deal in absolutes. Evidence isn't about getting to an absolute.
Are you certain about that?
Sure.
Are you certain about that?
Yeah.
Are you certain about that?
As certain as I can be.
If you don't believe in absolute, that leads to an infinite regress where you're never certain forever.
You could, I think...
That's a fail.
Sure.
So that's losing the debate, Point Peterson.
I don't think so.
Okay. So all of scientific evidence
you,
is based
you do,
on...
You do realize that when I make a linguistic or a logical statement, that's not the same as using evidence to know things about the natural world, right?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Okay, so what you were doing was you were asking me about how is it that we use evidence to know about things, and I explained it to you, and then you conflated that with, oh, how do you jive that with your first principles or your worldview or your presuppositions? Well, I don't use them for those presuppositions because presuppositions are unjustified. They're just starting points that we have to work with in order to try to engage in... whatever conversations or do the process of trying to investigate the world and ask and answer questions. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a category error, but you switched things in there.
I didn't switch anything. If you're starting,
no, you did. I just explained no, it, I mean, but go
you
ahead.
Don't know what you're talking about. You don't
know no, I do know what I'm talking about because you asked me, how do we use evidence to increase knowledge about things. That's very different about how I presuppose that that process works. I have to have a presupposition, a worldview, or whatever, a framework that I adopt in order to, I don't know, have a starting point in how I deal with evidence, but the evidence doesn't increase the odds of that because there are things that like you can't prove whatever. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, but like if we're having a debate and you go, well, I don't have to justify my starting point. Well, then I win
like
the debate.
Like you don't. Yeah, because it's presupposed. Well,
then I win the debate because then it,
no, I win the debate because I presuppose that you're wrong, and you presuppose that you're right. Okay. But I presuppose that you're wrong, so I win the debate.
How?
What? By presupposing it. You guys literally don't ever try to, like, the whole tag tactic is just to say, well, I proved that the contrary is impossible. Okay, how about shift the burden of proof to yourself? No, I don't have to do that. Like, but just presupposing that you are correct.
But that's not what we're doing. So we're giving reasons for why we're correct. Mm-hmm. So debate, I don't know if you knew this, but debate is a reason-giving game. We're supposed to give reasons for our position. So when you don't give reason for your position, that's losing the debate. So my reason
No, because you asked me about my presuppositions, and presuppositions aren't justified.
I don't agree with that, though. I justify.
Okay, well, that's just literally what a presupposition is.
But that's literally not the case. I don't.
Yes, it is. It's presupposed.
Okay, but we have to. We would use a transcendental
presupposition, a thing tacitly assumed beforehand at the beginning of a line of argument or course of action. So it's a starting point for how you go about doing things or giving a line of argumentation.
Sure, but if your starting point isn't justified, then all of your
presuppositions
reasoning...
aren't justified. They are tacitly assumed.
No, I justify my presuppositions because if you don't
go ahead and tell me how you do it.
Well, we would use a presuppositional argument.
Go ahead and do it.
Right. So the presuppositional argument, we would when we're dealing with a starting point, principle, belief, we can't use a correspondence theory of truth because that's the belief we use to evaluate reality. So there's no reality to correspond to.
So you can't recursively justify your presupposition with anything that the presupposition is designed in order to allow you to do. That's exactly what I said. So what do you want to talk about next?
So we would use a coherentist theory of truth, right? And since for example, we all have to use inductive reasoning, which means our presuppositions have to account for the problem of induction. And since the Christian presupposition can account for the problem of induction, which is necessary for
Explain to me how it accounts for it.
So in the Christian worldview, we know that gravity is going to hold day by day by day.
Explain to me how you know that.
Because it's part of God's plan, and then he reveals that knowledge to us.
Explain to me how you know that.
Through revelation.
Explain to me how you know that.
That is the explanation.
That is the explanation, that it's revealed to you. So what's to stop me from saying, the truth reveals itself to me, and the truth revealed to me that God doesn't exist?
Because when we're talking about our a worldview, our starting point, we're talking about reality. We're not talking about a hypothetical.
I'm not giving you a hypothetical. I'm telling you that this really happened. The truth revealed to me that God doesn't exist. So how is that equal to your claim, worse than your claim, better than your claim?
So imagine I provided empirical evidence that the dog was in the backyard, right? And you said, well, hypothetically, it could be in the kitchen. Does your hypothetical trump my empirical evidence? No.
No, but you didn't give empirical evidence and I didn't give you a hypothetical.
Well, see.
Well, I kind of said hypothetically, I said hypothetically what's stopping me from saying that, or what would your counter to it be? But you didn't empirically prove anything. You just gave me a list of things that you assume according to your worldview.
Well, yeah, it wasn't so much a hypothetical as a pathetical. But in the case of my position,
that's kind of funny.
There's tangible evidence in my position, right? Because the Bible's tangible, the history of the church is tangible, and then there's metaphysics that are tangible. Whereas when you're talking about the truth revealed this to me that there's no God, there's nothing tangible there to support. So that
there's nothing tangible about your personal revelation, which is what this all came down to.
I'm not appealing to a personal revelation. I'm appealing to natural and special revelation.
What's tangible about those things?
Well, history is tangible. Invent that, right? That's not just a fantasy.
Okay, you're not really tracking here. So I actually have some questions. I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, and I don't think you are either, just for the record. But I wanted to ask you some questions about this whole thing, because where I typically like to take this is I ask people that adopt this framework, if you had two people, if you had an identical twin brother, but he was not a presuppositionalist, what is your brother incapable of doing that you are capable of doing other than reaffirming your presuppositions, is there anything?
Well, I mean, it's just like, ooh, someone who doesn't...
Hold on. I got a Nazi in my chat. How do I block this person? Give me a moment here. Oh, yeah, this is on YouTube. Okay, hold on. I just... put user in timeout for 24 hours there. Yeah, sorry about that. Anyways, what's going on?
I would say that, like, as a Christian, I'm capable of debating and it, like, can get somewhere. Because, like, without God, if we disagree, there's no, like, standards to determine who's correct. That's the
problem. Right, so how is that not doing anything other than what I said was reaffirming your presupposition? You're just saying other people that don't adopt my framework are wrong and they can't make a case for being right, and I can. Yeah, that's your worldview. Other than, like, do you think a presuppositionalist scientist would be able to invent things that a secular scientist would not and never could be able to?
No, I mean, yeah, like, belief in God isn't going to necessarily make the science better, but it could give your science, like, purpose and direction. Because without God, science really has no direction.
Right. And that's just, again, reaffirming your beliefs and presuppositions. It doesn't actually make anybody be able to do anything.
I mean, it gives us like a standard to see like who's right or wrong. Without God,
there's but that's literally just according to you. So
no, it's an objective standard.
According to you, yeah. You define it to be that way.
No, think about this. Like, if we disagreed on what Animal Farm meant, I say Animal Farm is about the Civil War. You say Animal Farm is about the Bolshevik Revolution. There's no way to tell who's correct unless there's an author to the book that intends the book to have a certain meaning. And if, like, George Orwell wrote the book and intends for it to be about the Bolshevik Revolution, then there's context to say that you're correct and I'm wrong.
What if literally everything we know about the world disagrees with what the book says? Then what do we do?
Well, that's, the point is, if there's no author to the world, if there's no inherent meaning...
I didn't say the world. I'm talking about the book. I write a book that says the earth is flat. And so, you know, do you think that that's true?
No, but that's a good example.
Okay, but you have to appeal to my book, to me, the author who wrote the book that makes the claim about the world.
So flat earth, but here's the point. Flat earthers and a sphere earther, they look at the same evidence, right? But the difference is the flat earther interprets the evidence differently. And then so the question is, who's interpreting the data correctly? Because this is called underdetermination of data in science. It's a big problem for science. And so this is what God solves, right? God gives us an answer to how to interpret the world correctly.
How do we do that?
We accept God's revelation. Without God's revelation, we don't have an objective standard to interpret evidence.
So what did God reveal to you about the world?
That it's like there's a... Like, I know there's a physical world, right? You just assume there's a physical world. You don't have any...
No, you assume that it's been revealed to you that that's the case, and I assume that I exist in the world. It's a true fact that the universe exists. I'm a part of it, and information about it is able to be... I'm able to ascertain that, or obtain and ascertain that information. We both merely presuppose that. But a question would then be, do you agree that there are galaxies billions of light years away?
No, you don't. You're not getting it. So when I believe...
I don't care if you don't think I don't get it. I literally don't care. Do you accept that there are galaxies billions of light years away?
No.
You don't. Are you a flat earther?
No.
Okay. Do you think that there are Do you think the Andromeda Galaxy exists? That one's only 2 million light years away.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a young Earth creationist?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to interpret the world around you in a way that conforms with your presupposed worldview, rather than letting that data speak for itself in a way.
But the data
because
doesn't...
Because you can't see millions of light years if the light's only been traveling for 6,000 years.
But this is your problem.
No, it's not my problem.
The data doesn't speak for itself. Like, do you think a fossil has a voice and go, "Hi, I'm a fossil. I'm 7 million years old, Planet Peterson."
I think people have brains and they can interpret data. You think the same thing.
Okay.
It's just that when that data disagrees with your presupposed worldview, you say the way we interpret the data is flawed.
No. That's the question. That's what's under dispute. Who is interpreting evidence correctly, right? And under your system, because you don't start with God, you have no way to know who's interpreting data correctly. Because
you can't just say I presuppose that God is what allows us to interpret data. Therefore, I know how to do it, and you don't. I'll just presuppose that we don't need God in order to do that. There, I win.
Okay, but. You don't win.
Okay,
because
there.
Now,
I do win because I presuppose that that's how it works.
But on your model, there's no way to tell who's interpreting data correctly.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. Science gives us data points. It doesn't tell us how to. How do you solve the underdetermination of data?
I don't know what you mean by that.
It's a big problem. Don't you think? Do you like not look at any of the criticisms of science? You just have blind faith in science.
I don't care much for what presuppositionalists say because you're all a bunch of goofy guys. So
not what a presupp. It's a thing in philosophy for science. Philosophy of science, underdetermination of data.
Cool.
So you just blind. You have blind faith.
Nope.
Without reason. You just accept. Well, you don't know any of the
scientific. PMARS, you accept almost all scientific data, even though you don't even do any of the scientific experiments yourself. So why are you blindly accepting all of these scientific facts?
I don't. I'm aware of the criticism.
So you don't think that atoms exist?
I'm not blindly.
The question was, do you think atoms exist?
No, it was a loaded question.
Yeah, so the question was, do you think atoms exist?
Why are you so rude?
I'm not. You're not answering my question. So do you think atoms exist?
It's a loaded question.
It's literally like, not. Do you think atoms exist?
It's loaded like Ernest Hemingway.
Hemingway, yeah. Do you think that atoms exist?
Have you seen Sabrine?
So the question is, do you think that atoms exist?
I don't know. I've been watching Sabrina's videos.
So anyways, Sabine Hossenfelder?
Yeah, Sabine's videos.
Yeah, I don't watch any of her stuff. I'm not particularly a huge fan.
She thinks that particle physics is a mathematical hoax.
Cool, and other physicists don't think so. So PMARS, I have a question. I have a series of questions for you. If a Christian told you that they saw a unicorn, would you believe them? Keep in mind, they have an objective standard of how to know true facts, according to you. So would you believe them?
No, would you?
No, I would not. Why would you not believe them?
Because we have evidence that unicorns don't exist.
So that's how you determine what is true and what isn't true?
Yeah, I'm
priors. So it has nothing to do with your presuppositionalist beliefs?
Well, unlike you, Planet Peterson, I'm evidence-based.
So the question is, if a Christian said to you, "I saw a unicorn," and then they argued to you, "Hey, I have the objective standard of truth, so you're not allowed to say that, no, you didn't see a unicorn." What if they appealed to revelation from the Bible to claim that they have the exclusive means of being able to validate claims, and so you don't get to claim that they didn't see a unicorn? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say, like, where did you get this, like, horseshit interpretation? Did you get this from, like, some dumb idiot like Planet Peterson? Because this is a straw man of the Christian position.
It's not. But anyways, so if a Christian told you they saw a unicorn, you wouldn't believe them because we don't have evidence of unicorns. So it doesn't ultimately have anything to do with being revealed some sort of special ability to know things.
Well, revelation would be a type of evidence, right? In a Christian model. I know you don't,
anyways,
in your position, you don't accept that. But I'm evidence-based.
I don't really know where you're going with that. So anyways,
well, I'm evidence-based.
Let's say there's a religion out there that it's some science. Random religion. We'll just call it Ding Dong.
Let's call it science.
Or 0 out of 10 rage bait. So there's some religion out there practiced by people that live in Mongolia, and it's called Ding Dong.
Science.
And this religious group that has these stories that are thousands of years old, they have a story that says one day the earth stopped spinning. Do you believe them?
No, I don't believe religious claims.
So you don't believe them?
No.
Why not?
Because it sounds like bullshit.
Okay. You do know that the Bible says that happened once, right?
Yeah, but the Bible's legit.
Okay, so you literally believe in contradictions, apparently. I don't know what to do with you, because if somebody told you, if a religion had a story that said the earth stopped spinning, you say, no, that's too stupid to believe. And ultimately, you'd have all these, if we could have unpacked that further, but you're very dishonest, so I didn't really try to. You would have appealed to all these naturalistic reasons why that can't be true, just like the unicorn thing. But now when I say, did you know that the Bible says that happened? You say it did happen because the Bible is true. You're going in a circle here.
Yeah, but if you don't go in a circle, then you end up like Planet Peterson and you have no evidence for anything. So I want to have evidence for things. That's why I'm a Christian.
What evidence of God do you have?
The transcendental argument for God is, I would say.
An argument isn't evidence. What argument or what evidence do you have?
Arguments are evidence.
Do you have evidence of that?
So you're talking.
Do you have evidence of that?
Yes.
Could you give me the evidence that arguments are evidence?
You want the evidence that arguments are evidence?
Yeah, could you do that for me? Because if you can't, then your worldview falls apart.
The evidence that arguments are evidence.
Yeah, because you made that claim, so can you back that claim up? Can you put it in reverse for me, Terry?
I would say, like, if we're going to be technical, that arguments would give meaning or interpret evidence. That arguments contain evidence. So, like, I would say,
so
like,
you can't. Okay, that's fine.
The fact that you're talking would be evidence, right?
Interesting.
You agree? Would you agree that you're talking?
I don't know what to believe. I'm just trying to get you to tell me what to believe, but you can't really do it either. I just have questions. I have no answers, but neither do you. Anyways, what do you want to talk about next?
The evidence that you're talking, right? So I can take from that, the fact that you're talking, for you to talk, there has to be some uniformity to nature, because if there's not uniformity to nature.
Yep. I presuppose that too. And I presuppose that God isn't required for it. I win. Anyways.
But that's losing the debate.
No, I have more Yahtzees in the chat. These people, I've never seen any of these people in my chat before. What the heck?
Debate is a reason-giving game. So if I can give a reason for the uniformity of nature and you can't, then I win the debate.
You can just presuppose that you have an account for it, and I'll just presuppose that I have an account for it. And then it's actually a stalemate. So anyways, why are there so many thousands of denominations of Christianity, and why do people interpret the Bible so differently if God is revealing the truth to all of them?
Because in Christianity, God is about freedom, and God gives us the freedom to bear witness testimony to his word, and he gives us the freedom to interpret that word.
So, do you know that your interpretation is the correct interpretation, or do you think it's possible that your interpretation is the wrong interpretation?
There isn't like one correct cookie cutter interpretation. There's a little freedom.
So you admit that you could be wrong?
Well, what would it mean to be wrong? Like, wouldn't we need God to determine? Like, in your worldview...
So the question is, do you think that you could be wrong? Is it possible that your interpretation could be wrong?
What would it mean to be wrong without God?
This is literally according to you. It's not according to me. So literally, pretend that your presuppositions or whatever are correct. Is it possible that you're wrong? So you know the answer is yes, but you can't say yes. Because then all of a sudden, appealing to the divine revelatory nature of Scripture in order to know what the truth is and make claims about the truth completely falls apart.
Well, your question's incoherent because we...
It's not.
I would use God's revelation to verify right and wrong. So how would I... If I'm wrong about revelation, then what would it even mean to be right? It wouldn't have no meaning to be right or wrong.
I don't really know what you just said there. So do you think that it's possible that you're wrong?
That's an incoherent question. Another word.
So not every Christian's interpretation of Scripture can be correct, right?
I think there could be multiple correct interpretations.
Like you could have correct interpretations that overlap with some of theirs, but not all of them, something like that or whatever. Like there are evolutionary theists out there, like Inspiring Philosophy, right? So he believes Jesus died and resurrected, and he believes God created the universe. But he's not a young earth creationist like you are, right? So is it possible that Michael Jones is wrong? Or is right, actually, I should say?
He's definitely wrong about evolution, yeah.
Is it possible that he's right?
I don't think so.
Okay, so is it possible that you're wrong?
About evolution? No.
Why is it impossible that you're wrong?
Because if evolution is true, that means the Bible isn't true. And if the Bible's not true, then there'd be no standard for truth.
So there's so many problems with that. One being that you said that if this is the case, then the Bible would be false. Which isn't impossible, it's just that you wouldn't be able to objectively, you don't think that anybody would objectively be able to say that it's false. So that's interesting. So you think that it is possible that the Bible is false. Maybe that's what you meant by the incoherency thing earlier. If it was false, then nobody could say anything is true. So, yeah. Yeah, okay, so I got the presupper to admit that it's possible that that it's not true. That's cool.
No, I didn't say that.
You did. What do you want to talk about next? Evolution?
Have a nice day, man.